Welcome to another exciting Nerd Management, where we're all a bunch of Samanthas, or so we think. But it turns out, if you really got to know us and we're really honest with ourselves, we'd be a bunch of Charlottes.
I think that's the second Sex and the City reference you made when Michael's been on
that
the
is,
show.
That is such a Miranda thing to say. Name,
okay, so did you do your research tonight?
Yeah, I had to do a lot of homework on that. No, but it's crazy because I can't remember when that movie came out, the actual movie, not the TV show.
There's two.
Oh my. Whew, that's exhausting. No, when the
second one, they go to India and they
We got some guests here that we probably should intro. But first, I want to tell you.
Do you have this written down?
No. Wow. I'm on quite a rant here. I can't remember when the movie came out, but the first movie came out, and I was really big into going to drive-in movies.
I think this might be why
all the drive-in theaters are kind of closing down, is because I went to a drive-in theater and I didn't have kids at the time, so it didn't really matter to me. But during the second movie, I think there was like a Shrek film playing on one of the screens, and immediately behind was Sex and the City. And I was like, this is just, kids could turn around and just see 2.5 hours of dong, like right
before. Or you could see something
right
even worse, which is just Carrie's face.
Yeah. You're like, how is that?
Yeah.
I think I refer to equestrian film.
We had the best driving experience possible, guys.
Really?
We're talking about like a Pink Floyd dark
She's a horse.
Type of scene,
really?
We're talking meta-level experiences.
We were there seeing Super 8 at the drive-in, which is probably the best way to watch Super 8.
Sure. Oh, yeah, for sure.
On the other side, right behind us, was X-Men First Class. So at the end, when all the metal is flying to the center of the town,
yeah,
for that thing, the other side just had Magneto.
Oh, that's amazing. We're going to talk about Magneto tonight, too.
Yeah, press.
That's awesome, guys.
That's really cool.
That's awesome. Tonight with us, if you joined us before on the Kind of Epic Show, we're kind of crossing over tonight.
Yeah.
And we have the Kind of Epic Show guys with us. Go ahead and introduce yourselves, fellas.
I'm David West.
I'm Gabriel Canada.
And then, of course, I'm Warner Swopes.
Yeah.
And we have with me my lovely crow host.
Are we using that now as a crow?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's my thing.
Alec Ward. What's up?
Alec Ward. And then we've got our good buddy Rob right across from me.
And
that's how I like it.
Back by popular demand.
Three votes.
Three out of the five. That is popular demand.
I'm president now.
We have an electoral college, so the three of us actually carry more weight. It's fine.
Last time I did a fan vote.
We carry more weight.
One week we did a fan vote to where, okay, we let our audience vote on what movie we had to review.
Yeah.
Twilight. Sorry.
Okay, I'll get it. It's fine.
Honking Twilight.
But anyway,
I think I actually had my Guy card revoked when I had to watch those films, when I interviewed the werewolf. It may not even have existed.
That's his name, is just the werewolf.
Taylor the werewolf.
Jonathan Taylor Teen Wolf, right? That's his name? JTT. Shark Boy the Werewolf. I'm sure you're all recognizing his beautiful blogger voice, but our blogger Michael is here tonight, and that's what we were trying to get at.
Waved at the microphone.
There's a camera. We're actually on video a little. So
I was going to say Black by popular demand, but I decided not to.
Good. Thank you for holding that one back.
Yeah,
really appreciate it.
You can literally see that's an untrue statement.
Caucasian by popular demand.
It doesn't have such a mass ring to it.
But that would require effort.
Yeah, we're not gonna worry about all that.
Not into that.
Yeah, we're just the format. We're totally losing.
I know.
They did that.
So basically, now that I've talked about Sex and the City and we've talked about drive-ins for the first half of the show, I did want to probably mention something. I know we don't typically talk about this, but why don't we talk about comics tonight?
That's so weird. I was thinking about the same thing.
That's weird.
Stand-up comedians.
We also do.
Gilbert Gottfried's pretty great.
He's never been great.
Aladdin.
Aladdin's a good one.
Let me tell you about the all three. Jafar! That is amazing!
That's pretty good.
That is
Gilbert Godfrey, everyone.
You have to cover half your face with your
head. Why do I talk like this?
That's true. Most impressions, like for Sean Potter, just close this side of your face and pretend you're not a suit.
There you go.
It works.
You have to give me. Gabe, you don't have a microphone.
Ridiculously loud.
So anyway, yeah, books of the week this week were pretty nuts, right? There's,
usually we pick like one book a week, but we just, I don't think we could.
It's unavoidable.
Yeah.
We'll basically give like our top three or whatever from this week, and then we'll discuss one that all of us say is like collectively the book of the week, book of the month.
Oh yeah.
But let's take a step back. Who wants to go first? Any takers? Anyone? It looks like Alec is up for
I'm black
there.
By popular demand right now.
Alec's going for it. That's fine. Go ahead.
It's okay. So the couple of books that I picked out, Detective Comics was really, really great. It was the last issue for Jonathan Lehman. Jason Fabok, who did the art, he actually left a couple of issues ago. But
isn't he writing now? I think he's writing.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think he's writing.
But
something. I don't know what.
The next issue starts with Francis Manapole and Brian Buccellato, which I'm ridiculously
excited for. That, yeah.
You know, I love their art on the Flash. Mm. But I didn't like the writing on the Flash.
I
thought it was a good run, and it's still. I mean, he's still the writer currently for like one more issue.
Yeah, a couple issues,
great.
But yeah. But I mean, I understand though, but. They're going to start doing Detective Comics as of next month. But other than that, the Nova was super good. It had a returning character. it had a returning character from Abnett's run on Guardians of the Galaxy way back. One of my personal favorite characters. He came back, and then New Warriors was great. Issue two. And then of course Earth 2 was great, and then the two books that we're going to talk about here in a little bit were fantastic. I mean, that's, you know, it was super hard for me to. Why do I keep saying super?
Maybe it's super.
Maybe it's just super.
So I guess I'll go with mine. There are so many good books, though. First of all, I want to say that one of definitely top for me this week was Magneto Number 1 by Colin Bunn. We just interviewed him a few weeks ago, and we were really excited about that book about that book coming up. And then when it came out, I was like, okay, I really hyped myself up on this. It may not hold to it, but man, it was good.
It's excellent.
Magneto's such a great character, but it's so hard for me to imagine him holding his own book, but it really worked. Like, kind of the whole story is he's going after these people that have spent their lives torturing or killing mutants, and so he's like, all right, and I'm just going to even the score, and he's got, like, this list of people that he's going after, and it was just awesome.
It's action-packed. I think most first issues are kind of slow. This one, it was just right away, right out the gate. It's really good.
I think it's gonna be a really solid book, and it's great to see Colin Bunn doing something so big for Marvel. You know what I mean? Like right now, Magneto's huge because of Days of the Future Past is coming out, mm-hmm. and so he's really predominant. And so it's cool to see Colin Bunn get a job that's way at the forefront of Marvel's kind of their book structure, like really important book that's gonna be. Really important once Days of the Future Past comes out and people are like, oh, I want to know more about Magneto.
Yeah.
Well, now he's got his own book and
how does
it relate, focus on that.
How does it relate to the other X-Men books? Like, because he is pretty prominent. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to tie at all.
No,
like, it really seems separate.
It's going to be pretty much independent. And they may have some crossovers later in, but...
And that was something I was worried about from the beginning.
The way that book felt, it's almost going to have like a Wolverine in the 90s feel. He can do anything he wants with Magneto.
Yeah.
And then whomever's writing, whoever else
it just has to
Magneto.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
Well,
does he have the white costume like the Uncanny?
I don't want to spoil that for you, but it's not the white costume.
No,
there's a cool costume thing in it.
Okay.
How does his helmet? You didn't impress
me. It's like... I don't know if that's what it's. I mean, that's what it sounded like in my head. I imagine it's like liquefied metal. It's like the T-2000.
It's like dropping a salamander into a bowl.
You have a soundboard.
I don't have any slurpy sounds on here, I don't think.
I think you already did life, but...
No, I did the other.
I did the other, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then Charles Soule's second issue of She-Hulk came out. Man, that's a good book.
I picked up the first issue, and it was actually really great. I didn't pick up the second issue.
And as Charles Soule is really good at doing, he starts building her supporting cast in this second issue. And we've got Hellcat is going to work for her now.
Wow.
And that's just obscure. I just thought that was really good. And she's basically, like, just working at the law firm that she's opened. And then she also has this new character. I can't remember her name, but she's just some normal lady who just basically is the desk lady at the law firm. And
it's a paralegal.
She has a...
The technical term.
Yeah, she is a paralegal. A Ghostbuster, if you will. She... She has this monkey. She has this pet monkey that she said, I won't even take the job if I can't bring my pet monkey with me. And
that's kind of a weird request. Like,
but it's odd. Like, the book's really odd and quirky like that, but it works on so many levels.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil the ending for you, but the ending is amazing. And there's, like, this character reveal of someone she's going to have to defend in court, and it's not good. Yeah. It's not going
to
be good.
No, I'm definitely going to have to pick it up.
Did anyone read it? Nobody read it?
Spoiler
right,
alert.
I'm going to go ahead and throw this.
Kills
I'm actually going to throw a spoiler out here. So she has to... the end is she has to defend Victor Von Doom's son, Christoph.
Really?
And try to get him immunity, because he's like, I'm done with Latveria. I need you to take care of this for me. And she's going to get a lot of money for it, but then... There's definitely some backlash from Dr. Doom and the like. So
sure.
I thought that was pretty cool. Because he, for a long time, like while Victor Von Doom was actually on the Future Foundation, Christoph was actually running the country and was the new Dr. Doom for a very long time. So it's kind of cool to bring him back in in an interesting way where he's just like, I want diplomatic immunity and you're going to help me get it.
Does it have anything to do with FF at all?
There's actually some references to the FF book. So she actually talks about her time on the team and things like that. So it's really
cool.
And I think the book's just going to keep getting better. Yeah. And then finally, of course, we all knew this was coming because it is that time of the month. Everybody.
Not Warner's period.
Swamp Thing is Swamp Thing came out.
That sounds like Warner's period.
Yeah, so Swamp Thing came out this week, and man,
great
oh man. It was
messy
really
full
great.
Of sex fruit.
So basically, let's discuss, because I know a lot of you read Swamp Thing, let's discuss. So there's basically...
Did you guys read Swamp Thing?
I read volumes 1 and 2.
Okay.
I get it from the lab.
Oh, okay. No, I understand.
I don't think Broad World's come out of trade yet.
Yeah, I don't think it has.
So Swamp Thing's come back from
DC
the green.
For you.
Has this supporting cast that's really cool. It's the four people, or three people he's rescued from the green, as well as Capucine, the witch who had made a deal with an avatar previously, and now he has to fulfill it. When he gets back with these other avatars, he's found this house in Louisiana that he's like, this is where you're going to stay until you can get acquainted with the world and not be so weird. We need this to work. And so he's like, I'll bring you everything you need. You guys just stay around and don't get into trouble. And
go to Mardi Gras. Yeah.
Two of them go to Mardi Gras and get tattoos and like are trying to get some business opportunity set up. And it's getting really awkward. And you're like, oh, these guys are going to be in so much trouble. Well, it gets worse because this group of, what do they call?
The Serene
are worshiping the Avatar. And the other Avatar is like, oh, yeah, this is a good thing. You should follow them. And he's like, okay, I'm okay with this. I'll do what you need. And then they're like, we need you to feed us. And this is the first New 52 introduction of the classic sex fruit from the Alan Moore run. And so he feeds them.
Oh, yes, you heard us right.
He feeds them the euphoric fruits. And
I like how he does it so begrudgingly.
Yeah.
He's like, Mary.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take my man fruit.
Yeah, and then Capucine's like, could I get a little piece of that? He's like, fine. And then one of the other avatars, the previous avatars, he's like, well, now that I'm a human, I really would like to feel that again. And he's like, okay. And so he feeds all these people. Well, then the Serene are like, you know, we can do things for you too because we worship you. So here's what we would like to do for you. You can take one of our bodies and become human for a day. And we'll protect your body, your Swamp Thing body, and everything will be fine. He's like, that sounds pretty good. He does it, They drug the body he goes into, so he's like puking and passing out all over the place. And they all pull off their robes and fake beards, and they're like, let's do it, let's bag up the body. And they steal Swamp Thing's body
while he's drugged in
a human body. He wakes up, and the house is on fire, and that's where we end. I mean, come on, how can you not love that?
That sounds like a successful Martin
Brock. Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was yeah, that sounds, yeah, Alec Holland had like what most would consider a very good Martin Brock.
Miley DC does that.
Yeah, I know. It's almost like they planned that.
I know. My only one issue with the comic is you've just met these people. You've just met the Suri. You're okay with just leaving your body like day one, yeah. No problem.
I was thinking
that
too, but that previous avatar has something to do with it because he's like, no, dude, it's cool. You should do this.
But even after everything Alec has gone through, do you really
not me? Not me.
You still feel like, okay,
yeah, exactly.
I'm all right with leaving my body. It's no problem. I don't know.
That was a little weird. But I also like how now that Alec Holland is like the Swamp Thing again, where the 80s it was a Swamp Thing pretending to be Alec Holland. Now it's actually Alec Holland. He has kind of a sense of humor. And one of the really good lines in the book is the leader of the Serene, his name is Not, like K-N-O-T. And he's like, I am not. And Alec goes, you're not what? And then the guy's like, no, like K-N-O. And before he can finish it, Swamp Thing's like, I get it. Like, he was just messing with the guy. But this guy doesn't understand that, like, an avatar can have a really good sense of humor and, like, be a person as well as a Swamp Thing.
I just like that feeling because he's like, I got it. Like,
he's really upset that the guy didn't get his joke. He's like, come on. But that's how I feel most of the time on the podcast.
When
I put out a joke and then I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
And then nothing.
So was that the end of your books of the week?
Yeah, that's it for me. That's it for
Rob, what about you?
You know, honestly, you guys pretty much covered most of the ones that I read. The only one that you didn't cover was...
Don't you dare.
Is this our group book of the week?
Okay.
Okay.
Punisher number 3.
Okay.
You guys know I'm a big
fan. Is that a bi-weekly book?
It is a bi-weekly book.
Wow.
Okay. I was going to say, because it number 2 just came out like 2 weeks ago.
That is how bi-weekly works.
Number 1 a month ago.
Yeah.
But this is my first time getting that comic store in a month.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I know when David pulled out his stack, it was just like, okay.
I really liked issue 1. It's great. Then I looked at the shelf and I was like,
Fart!
Like, really? What's
Star Trek?
Yeah, I stopped getting Star Trek because I had 8 issues in the box. But it's really good. I think, you said you read issue 1.
Yeah.
I think it started off a little slow. It was your typical Frank Castle, you're into drugs, blast him in the face.
But they
used a supporting cast in that first
blast
issue.
Blast him in the face.
They have, yeah. Split out.
That's all you get.
What is that labeled at? I'm sorry, keep talking.
Oh, I see how it is. Issue 2 had a lead up for a big face off with Electro and Punisher, and finally in issue 3 we got that face off. And Frank Castle, spoilers. I'm sorry, Frank Castle barely escapes with his life. I'm not going to spoil the end of it. There's even more, but it was a great issue. I really enjoyed it. It's your typical Frank Castle. It was great. I really liked it.
Cool. What about you guys?
Good. Book of the week. Oh.
Don't say that top book. Can I say them and not talk about them?
Not yet.
Okay, because I've only read 2 books.
Well, then David doesn't get to talk. Not yet.
Okay.
Hold on.
Dave, do you have a comic book that you really like from this week or any weeks in the last month or so? Anything?
We have a webcomic count?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
We don't discriminate.
Nah. We don't hate.
You guys read those backups? I haven't.
I have not been. I think I should. I don't know. I feel bad. Because
I know. After each issue, which we'll get to here in a second, I just feel so drained that I'm like, I don't want to read anymore. But anyway, go ahead, Gabe. I'm so sorry.
I think I'll just kind of pass. I'd have to think on it a little bit.
Okay.
I do follow a couple of books.
Mike?
Well, Magneto, number 1.
Yeah.
Night of the Living Deadpool ended this week, the last issue. And then Carnage versus Deadpool starts in a couple weeks.
Colin Bunn again.
I seem to be a real Bunn fan.
Yeah, I guess so.
But Magneto number one, obviously, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but like Warner said earlier,
it's great.
It's a hunter versus gatherer type of scenario.
Yeah, the way he kills is really interesting for all of those. And then
the opening scene.
It's brutal.
I want to take a picture of it and tattoo it on my child. Yeah. Freehand in prison. That's how awesome.
Right next to his spider tattoo.
Yeah, and then the way the costume came together.
And
right,
then that's, right at the end of the costume.
Man.
He really pulled that rug together.
Why is it not?
I don't know.
That's how I imagine metal sounds.
That's the only sound effects I know. Sorry.
Okay.
I like that best.
Okay, so.
Hey,
I haven't seen it yet.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how the costume comes together. I can say whatever I want.
So, the book that we weren't allowing David to talk about just yet, which you are absolutely welcome to now, is kind of
on the field's train.
Yeah, it's
that moment's passed.
David,
gone.
David, please,
David.
It's basically
I can't allow you to do that, David.
Yeah. He basically, or it's basically our collective.
You're right. That is badass.
Book of the week, which was Afterlife with Archie number 4. Did everyone read it? Did you read it?
I do not actually read this book.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Come on.
But well, so you read it?
Yeah,
all, right. Okay. Okay.
Yay, nerdy thing.
Just yeah. Just the most. The saddest I've been while reading a comic book.
You know, I remember I texted you too, and I said this is like the first time in a long time I've had to read a comic book through tears.
Yeah,
and it's just hard. First of all, do you guys remember the episode of Futurama called Jurassic
yes.
Bark?
Do you remember the episode that made you cry hysterically?
Yes. Yeah,
so every time I see it come on, I'm like, no,
I feel so stupid. Why am I crying at Futurama?
Yeah,
it like makes me so mad.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's one step above like the Sarah McLachlan commercial,
and just below the opening 10 minutes of Up.
That's good.
My parents make fun of me because there's times where I cry during How I Met Your Mother. I've watched since it started.
Okay.
Still a fan of the show.
You're still invested.
I had the same reaction when Scrubs ended. Like actually, not the last season because
that wasn't
terrible.
That wasn't Scrubs.
But like when it actually ended, yeah. I got kind of. I was like, okay.
David Gilman, who was also on the show, lasted for that. But he cried at the end of Battlestar Galactica. I thought that Battlestar Galactica was
sure
stupid.
Yeah. I thought it was great. We can agree to disagree on that, but
I mean, shut your mouth. But
I mean, that's your opinion, man.
Yeah.
When Adama and Rosalind go off together, and he's like, "That's just heartbreaking." Stupid.
I actually haven't seen Battlestar Galactica yet. Wait, I probably won't watch it.
But
so don't worry.
Anyway, back to Afterlife with Archie.
Yeah, no.
The whole point of this is like that you find, you know, it opens with Archie picking out his dog. Vegas, who, if you're an Archie fan, you know who Vegas is. He's Archie's dog. Yeah. Well, this whole thing started when Jughead's dog, Hot Dog, got brought back to life by Sabrina, but she botched up the spell and created a zombie dog. That's how Afterlife with Archie opens up.
Much like AIDS.
Yeah. Classic tale.
Zombie monkeys.
Zombie monkeys, right.
Is Hilda and Zelda swooping down out of the sky.
That's
right.
I think that's like...
And then getting rid of Sabrina's face.
Yeah,
that did happen. That was weird. But anyway, the dog comes back. Hot Dog is back, and Archie has gone back to his home to find his parents and save them. Because he was in the safe... Veronica's safe... mansion where everyone was safe, and he ran away to go check on his parents because we have a zombie apocalypse has just broken out. And when he gets to his house, Hot Dog is there, the zombified Hot Dog.
And
then
here we go.
And then here, just guys ready for the waterworks. Then his dog Vegas shows up to save him, but the dog has his own like thought bubbles
his,
that are
yeah,
just
his
like
own
short,
dialogue.
Short like words are put together in a parenthesis.
Like he calls Archie Archie Master because
yeah.
that's how he knows him. And so he has his own dialogue, and he saves Archie's life because he gets attacked by a hot dog, and thus...
The worst part, though, like, that just stabbed me right in the feels was when Vegas says, "My life for yours,"
yeah,
and he jumps
like,
in front of Archie and saves him from hot dog, and I was like, oh, no. And I was just, like, tearing up at this point. And then, on top
of
that...
That's
so,
not even...
So Archie's dog is saving him from this evil zombie dog. And Archie goes and finds his mom, and she's, like, crying. He's like, "Are you okay, Mom?" Goes in the bathroom, and his dad is a zombie, and he has to beat his head in with a baseball bat. What? His own dad. And mixed into the panel.
Yeah, I was going to say, this was the worst part in the scene where he's beating his dad's head in. It has every other panel is some like a memory that he's had of his dad.
Like a good memory.
Like him like catching a baseball.
Oh, yeah,
and it's just like...
I was like...
And then the whole time he's like, "I love..." Yeah, he's like, "I love you." And just... beating his
head. And
I'm
weeping.
So
and,
rough.
As you're telling us.
And, as he's leaving the house with his mom, Zombie Vegas.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Please don't make me do this."
Yeah, it's...
You're just like, oh, come on.
It was...
Come on.
There's a reason why we made Afterlife with Archie our book of the year at the end of last year.
Yeah.
Because it's...
It had only had two issues by then.
Yeah,
too.
Francesco Francavilla is ridiculously good.
He's
gorgeous.
Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who writes it, just got announced as CCO of Archie Comics now. So he's like running all of their multimedia, and now there's like because of that, there's these talks of a Afterlife with Archie movie being planned.
Yeah.
How great would that be?
Oh, that'd be incredible.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It just everyone would be crying all the whole movie.
Can you just imagine kids going to that?
No, it's an action movie, whatever, yeah.
Well, are their parents taking them along?
The dog's name is Hot Dog. It can't be that bad, right? Right? It's going to be like the Marley and Me of zombie films.
At least it won't be like the Return to Riverdale TV movie from the
90s. That's true.
No.
That's true.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Well, like, originally the movie was supposed to be like a teen... I think it was going to just
be
called Riverdale or something like that.
It was
going to
be like a John Hughes style,
yeah.
like... You know, Breakfast Club type of movie.
But, that book was just... It was heartbreaking and amazing at the same time.
I think we're going to go ahead and do our moment of glory and then head off to our commercial break.
Yeah, absolutely.
But first, before we get to that, let's talk about the moment of glory. It was a big one. It was a doozy.
Yeah.
It's actually a whole comic this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is one of the other books that David actually read this week.
So our moment of glory for this week is the entire issue of Forever Evil 6. Big spoilers abound in this because there's no way not
we
to.
We don't have the spoiler button for today.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. It seems to be broken, but it's fine. We can go on with
anyway.
It.
All right. That's actually who it is.
But
we'll just do this
instead.
Hello, boys. Have a very nice.
That means spoilers now, so. Because I won that button a lot.
There's a couple things that happen in Forever Evil number 6. First of all,
the cover totes the final fate of Nightwing.
Yeah, yeah.
Ish.
I was going to say, when you read
misleading.
The book, you're like, I mean, we all know everyone in comics is going to come back from the dead when they die. But Nightwing's isn't even that hard. Like, real people come back from that kind of dead every day.
Yeah.
Basically, Nightwing is hooked up to this thing called the Murder Machine. It's literally called the Murder Machine. I don't know how...
Which is very much a 60s, like...
Well, it is.
Where is it
it's from the old, like, it's from old Jack Kirby, like, stuff. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a classic little device. But basically what it is it's a bomb.
Yeah.
I wish I had a button for that.
I don't wish that at all.
Almost John Kukermelling.
The murder machine is basically a bomb
from Indiana.
That will only be able to be shut down if the person who is inside the bomb is dead. If their heart stops, then the bomb will stop. So Batman, of course, is like, I'm not going to kill Nightwing. I'm just going to disarm this bomb. And Lex Luthor's like, we don't have time for this.
You know, you can call him Dick Grayson.
Yeah. So Lex Luthor's like, hey, nobody got time for that.
Everybody knows
that. Zaps him with one of his gloves on his kryptonite suit and knocks Batman out. And then takes the glove off and just puts his hand over Dick Grayson's mouth and just suffocates him. Hush now. It's gonna be okay. It'll be okay. Go into sleep time now.
I think that would have been if that was the actual dialogue.
That reminds me of that SWAT gif where he puts the hand on the
cap. And so what's happening is he's basically trying to kill Dick Grayson to save everyone else. And he exceeds. We get the just straight E's in the sound effects as the line goes flat. And at that point, Batman wakes up and just starts beating the crap out of Lex Luthor. At which point, Lex Luthor's like, no, wait, there's still time. And so that hints that clearly two geniuses in the room with someone whose heart just barely stopped. He's going to be fine.
Right. Yeah. You guys know you just walked all over a joke because you could literally have said that Lex Luthor choked Dick.
Actually, I have a question. I don't know
if we could say that. I mean, I know we could have said that. I don't know if we should have.
Could
have said Hitler had a lot of good ideas.
Whoa. I want to self perform,
Sure.
Right after Nightwing dies.
Yes, sir.
Batman yells Dick really loud.
Dick!
Lex Luthor?
I really don't. I thought that too. I was like, can they say that? And I was like, no, wait.
Let's put this in context. I think it would have been weird if he was like Richard.
So, that would have been terrible.
So it kind of had to be.
Yeah, I mean, how else?
Maybe that's Jeff Johns being like, they know what's going on.
Batman would be your own boy wonder.
Weird
to scream dramatically. Boy wonder.
Batman wakes up and screams.
Oh, Richard.
That would have been way more awkward. So that happens, and he'll be fine, guys. I don't think he's going to be Nightwing, though. I think they're going to use this as a way to be like, oh, yeah, Nightwing died, so that they can, like...
He'll be Oracle.
Because everyone knows he's probably Nightwing now. So I say he just have to break starts his a new identity.
Well, do you remember there was that ad around Thanksgiving time?
Yeah,
the Batsgiving, and he...
And there's a blonde-headed character there.
That looks a lot like Dick Grayson, but with blonde hair.
Yeah. That's actually what we've been kind of, like, for him to just, like, start a new life, he dyes his hair blonde. Because Nightwing, the book, is not... After issue 30, it's done. So, you know.
Who would have thought that would have been canceled before, like, Batwing?
It was all part of the, like, lead-up to Forever Evil, though, to, like, make people really nervous.
But still, Batwing is... It's pretty poopy.
Does he have blonde hair?
No. I will say, though, because that's written by Tinian now, I think, James Tinian, I believe. I could be wrong.
That is correct.
It's not, what's his name?
I don't even want to remember his name.
It's actually not completely terrible. It has shining moments that are actually okay.
That's a green endorsement. It's not completely terrible.
Yeah, they should use that.
It's not just straight crap.
I know.
Crap.
He was writing half of them, and I just...
Yeah. No, it's... And not only
that's how you feel about Scott
not
Lobdell.
Only do we find
that's
out,
what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Scott Lobdell. That's it.
Oh yeah. Because he was writing.
Well, didn't Judd Winnick write Batwing like first off, and everyone was like, oh, this should be good, and then he only wrote like three issues or five issues or something.
It's not. But and not only do we deal with Dick Grayson, but we also find out who the prisoner is this whole time, which, again, major spoilers for this if you haven't, but it's Earth 3 Alexander Luthor, or also known as the Earth 3 Shazam.
Which, it's just Shazam backwards. He's Mazas.
Mazas, or however. Pretty much.
I was more so for, like, the fact that it was Alexander Luthor.
That was a big reveal, too, because remember, he was the villain way back in Infinite Crisis, with Jeff Johns also wrote that. So I was like, way to bring it back around.
Yeah, but I mean, and just the panel, the very last panel with him. Oh, by the way, he kills Johnny Quick by snapping his neck.
Well,
I should say that
panel is the same panel as when we first saw Shazam in the New 52.
Exactly. Because I think, and that's supposed to be Flash, like when, because I believe so, right? Oh, no, that's the
in the backup issue. Issues,
the Zero issue.
Oh, yeah, the cover Zero issue.
But anyway.
But before he kills Johnny Quick, something even more awesome happens to Johnny Quick. And this is why the book was our moment of glory for the whole book. It's because stuff just kept happening.
Yeah.
Before he gets killed, he grabs Captain Cold's gun. And as we all know, Captain Cold hates speedsters. But he has respect for the Flash, so he'll never kill him. So basically, he's got Captain Cold's gun in his hand, and he's like, "What are you going to do without your gun?" And he goes, "I'll just use the code word, Jingle Bells, Batman Smells." And the gun goes off and freezes Johnny Quick's leg, and he goes, "You know, there's only two things different about you and the Flash." And he goes, "One, I actually respect the Flash. Two, he has two legs." And he kicks the frozen leg and just destroys it.
Just takes it off.
It's like, come on, Captain Cold.
That's really cold.
Man, that gets cold. That's cold.
That's cold.
That's cold, Lyndon Stark. That's cold.
Wow. Is he responsible for these polar vortexes, by the way?
Probably.
Hashtag dad jokes.
Yeah. Hashtag double DB.
Well, as you know, the only constant in this world is that everything freezes, because that's what Arnold Schwarzenegger told us.
Well, remember, like, Captain Cold even like mentions that, because Johnny Quick's like, "What's so scary about cold temperatures? I don't care." He's like, "It's not that. I'm literally just negative motion." Yeah. Like, he just stops things.
Yeah. It's not just cold. It's, you know. Yeah.
That's an upgrade, though, from, like, his classic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really awesome. He's one of
my favorite characters.
He's one of my favorite characters. DC loves to have ice shooting characters. It's like their main villain.
Yeah, all of them.
Plot.
Mr. Freeze, Killer Frost, Captain Cold.
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them out there.
It's like they all have an ice villain, I think.
Do you think they go to the conventions?
They have ice sculpting contests there and stuff. It's awesome. I bet it's great. It's probably a good time. Yeah, why are we talking about it? I would love to go.
They probably have an entire room in, like, the Legion of Doom headquarters.
Sure.
It's just, like,
it's just ice sculpting. Yeah, yeah.
Real cold.
The Penguin takes his iceberg lounge and he just brings it over to the...
I want to go to Conception. Just because they are cold-themed does not mean they don't love a good cup of hot coffee.
That's true. That's true.
No one dislikes a good cup of coffee.
No.
I think that's actually true.
And I think with that...
So we're going to go to our break. And that's it for now. We'll be right back. After these messages, we'll be right back. Hey, guys. If you like all the stuff we've been talking about tonight, make sure you get your comics from Comic Book University in the Greenwood Place Shopping Center at 7623 Shelby Street.
And if you'd like to buy them digitally, you can go to comicbooku.com.
And also, make sure to check out our affiliates at fanboyfactor.com if you want to see comic book reviews, toy reviews, news, and all that kind of stuff.
If you want all of your nerd news, know-how, general updates, and any of our podcasts, you can go to our website at www.nerdmanagement.com. That is www.nerdmgmt.com.
And don't forget, if you're in the Indianapolis area for Indiana Comic Con, on March 15th at 5 p.m., we'll be doing a panel with our friends from Kind of Epic Show about Indiana podcasting. Now back to the show!
By the way, welcome back, everybody.
Oh, we were recording the whole time?
Oh, yeah. So we got...
I thought I was giving the sequel.
It's okay.
Okay, that's fine. We'll fix it.
It's okay. Yeah. No, we don't need to fix it, because it's just fun.
You and I just aired our dirty laundry.
We did.
Yeah.
Rob and I are having a little bit of a... No, it's fine. Rob and I are having a bit of a lover's quarrel, but it'll be fine.
We can get him. It's all good. All right.
So, this past... Why is that? Well, no, it's quite all right.
There's something about Mary.
Yeah, yeah. So this past Sunday was the Oscars 2014. David wasn't too happy about it, apparently.
Dave's like, oh, yeah.
So I do have a game planned. Not really a game, but just kind of a topic. But we'll do kind of what we thought of the Oscars this year and, like, what were your favorite parts. So it's just an open discussion. But my favorite part was the Bill Murray Harold Ramis plug. I mean,
yeah. And it was the only thing that was really unscripted.
Yeah.
Although that pizza business did seem like it wasn't scripted.
That was not scripted.
Like, I think that pizza man was seriously surprised.
He was on Ellen. He was on
a couple days after, wasn't he?
I actually did like one of the quips in that where she looks at Brad. She's like, "You were in two pictures. You can work out a little bit." He had like $1,100 in tips.
That's awesome. Jeez.
From that hat that they passed around.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's also been on like every talk show afterwards.
So no
longer is he shelling pizzas.
No, yeah. Probably not.
How about that Oscar?
Yeah, they were pretty
swell
good.
Fella.
I like the part where Leo got the... Oh, dang.
No, foil game.
Okay, so you guys know... You guys know he's going to get one next year.
That's what because, they say every year.
No, listen. Do you remember...
Shut up, Michael.
Do you remember...
It's going to come from the 3D re-release of what's
Eating Type. Yeah. Do you remember when... I love that movie.
Can you imagine?
I could have drowned in Gilbert.
Can you imagine that? Can you?
There you go.
Could you imagine the mom from What's Eating Gilbert Grape in 3D?
Whoa.
2D was enough. Do you
remember last year?
This is why I had us talk about pizza before going on. I had to find out.
Sure.
It's all just random.
Jeff, do you remember last year Jeff Bridges won Best Actor for Crazy Heart? Or maybe it was the year before?
It wasn't last year.
But either way, Crazy Heart is a fine movie. It's all right. It's not his best performance.
He's winning it for the
but he had part. Done so many before that were Oscar-worthy roles, and he's getting up there, so they were like, we need to give it to him because he deserves it.
Do you feel like Matthew McConaughey actually also won because of body of work? I mean, not that it wasn't a great performance.
I will say this,
people,
and that was by...
People have credited the fact that he did such a string of very atypical works, and that he's getting credit for that star turn.
I mean, this last year he has been really expanding his roles.
Well,
yeah,
Mudd didn't get any.
And the role was kind of Oscar made to begin with.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're going by that logic, then Meryl Streep should have won way more times than she actually has. So I think she's only won
two
twice.
Out of 18, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
she's become like a perennial nominee.
Oh, absolutely. Every year.
And I will say on the Leo thing, someone had said online, it's better to wonder why someone doesn't have an Oscar than why they do.
They did, yeah.
So
yeah,
that's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
So what's your game?
Tell that to Leo.
Hold back the tears.
I like playing.
So the game. I looked up the.
Do we need to bleep in? Because I want to do that.
Where's the vodka?
Yeah. No. So I looked up the top. Best Picture nominee, fiascos that, you know, movies that should have won, but actually something that was totally not, or that shouldn't got it, won. So what we're going to do is, I'm just going to read some of the ones that I picked. We'll all pick which one it is, and then I'll do
and the then we have to choose.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, if you guys choose something different, we can talk about that. So these are in, they're in order. So 1977. your
is it multiple choice?
Well, yeah, I'm going to give all.
Oh, I got
of them.
This.
I'm going to give
this.
All of them. So all of the movie nominees are Taxi Driver, Bound for Glory, All the President's Men, Network, and Rocky.
Man. I'm going to go ahead and say Rocky.
Okay, you say Rocky.
I'm gonna say Taxi.
Okay.
Are we looking for what won or what was the biggest? Like,
oh shoot!
What actually
driver.
Won Best Picture that year?
Dang! Because that's Scorsese, right?
What's that?
Was it Network?
Okay, you're saying Network.
Are we wanting what won or didn't win?
What won? What won Best Picture?
Can I get this?
Yeah. What's that? Oh, you okay? The
Network.
Yeah. All the President's Men, Rocky, and Bound for Glory.
I'm gonna go with All the President's Men.
Okay. Mike.
That's a great movie, though. I feel like that one
taxi driver. Taxi Driver. And the answer is Rocky. Rocky actually won Best Picture. Yeah, and it was a huge because the controversy is the Taxi Driver should have right exactly
also, All the President's Men
exactly
and Network like
yeah.
all great films.
Fantastic and Rocky actually and that was actually because I mean Sylvester Stallone wrote it and so I believe he got Best Actor, maybe not, don't quote me on that, but all right.
Well, I know Scorsese didn't get his first Oscar.
Right.
Artists.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right, so the next one.
Like I knew Rocky 1, too. Like, I should have...
I couldn't remember.
I'll be honest with you. I almost thought Taxi Driver, but then I remembered.
Yeah. That's what everybody says.
You know something as one, and then you compare it to the competition. I think that's what you're trying to think.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Well, and that was what the controversy was everybody thought Taxi Driver was going to win. But anyway, all right, so the next one. 1991.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep. I like that.
Your nominees are Dances with Wolves, Awakenings, Ghost.
Wait, you're not kidding.
This is all true.
Okay.
This will make you think so even more so. The Godfather Part 3. and Goodfellas.
I lost it. Go ahead.
While they're guessing, this is the clay. Go ahead.
I mean, was it Ghost?
Okay, so you're saying Ghost?
Yeah, I mean,
ghost.
Sure.
Saying
yeah.
Ghost. What are you saying?
Work that clay. Dance is fools.
Okay.
Work the clay.
Ghost, ma'am. Well, sorry, it's the same thing.
And you three are right. It is Dances with
really?
Wolves. Yeah.
I actually knew that one.
Here's why. It's 4 hours long.
Yeah.
At 3.5 hours, everyone's asleep. So they fell off their back.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually interviewed a couple of people from Dances.
A few hours of that movie probably are award worthy. So they're probably
look at it. So Dances with Wolves is 4 hours. Godfather Part 3 is. Goodfellas, yeah. So, but anyway, all right. So this next one, I won't do all of them. I'll just do some of my favorite ones. This one I think is pretty. 1995.
95 was a good year.
Three movies of these are like some of my all-time favorites. So, Four Wedding and a Funeral, not one of my all-time favorites. Pulp Fiction, Quiz Show, have no idea what that is. The Shawshank Redemption and Forrest Gump.
I'm gonna stop you right there. Those are all really good movies. I do believe
Quiz Show won that.
Okay.
I do believe that Shawshank Redemption won Best Picture. But little side note, Pulp Fiction won Best Screenplay, I believe, that year.
Okay. So you're saying Shawshank?
Yeah.
I was about to say Shawshank Redemption. Flubber isn't in there.
No Flubber. Unfortunately,
I think Flubber was 98.
I'm gonna go with Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Okay.
Shawshank.
Forrest Gump.
No.
Yeah. Forrest Gump.
I didn't think it was.
I'm trying to go for, like, what is the most controversial.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, I don't remember the name of the picture.
Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump.
Apparently, we're not smart men.
Do you got another one for us?
Sure.
The question, by the way, is about the rigging of the game show 21.
Yeah.
It's actually.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I didn't realize that was 95. I thought that was much sooner.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of.
Which actually is. And I won't do that one. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I'll do another one.
Probably got time for another one. Yeah.
Oh, no, we've got... No, there's a couple more. Okay, thanks.
I want to give them plenty of time to talk about
what's going on. Girls, time for more.
Girls. So, 1998, okay?
This is Flubber. This is the year Flubber won for Best Special Effects.
Well, once you guys hear it, you'll probably... Okay, yeah, that's what. As Good as It Gets, mm-hmm. The Full Monty, Good Will Hunting, L.A. Confidential, and Titanic.
Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting.
Titanic. No, dude, he got snubbed for Titanic.
Didn't they rename the Oscars Good Will Hunting that year?
Because it got everything.
Titanic won.
What? No.
Yeah.
I can't
Good Will Hunting got Best Screenplay.
Academy Award-winning director?
Yeah. Good Will Hunting got Best Screenplay, and that's it.
Really?
I'm sure I got more than that. I should say, yeah. All right, so... Now, the reason why I picked that one is because one of the films that wasn't chosen that was kind of the big controversy was The Big Lebowski, which is my personal favorite.
And because of that snub, that's what I'm saying. I think that's why Jeff Bridges finally won.
Exactly. Well, and when you started talking about Jeff Bridges, I was going to... Yeah, no, it wasn't nominated whatsoever.
For any categories?
Nope.
No way.
What film this year do you think should have, especially with
the... That's what I was going to say, yeah.
What is the snub for you? Like, what was the film that you think really should have been?
I mean, the Coens always do good work. I think Inside Llewellyn Davis definitely should have gotten a nod for something.
They had a slot.
All right, so...
Well, I mean, what would it have fallen under? Musical?
No. They can expand the category up to 10 awards.
So they could have even just had it in the Best Picture category.
Well, like, last year had 9 nominees, I think.
There were 9 this year.
9? Okay.
It was 8 or 9, yeah.
I don't remember.
Life of Pi...
Last year was Life of Pi.
Silver Linings Playbook.
Zero Dark Thirty.
Argo.
Which is a biopic, Jason and the Argonauts.
But sure, see, Argo won due to a technicality with the Golden Globes.
Really, was snubbed for the directing.
Yeah, everyone felt bad.
Snubbed.
Fuck that. No, what you said is more accurate.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I mean that's literally what happened.
And Django was also nominated, which I think should have won. Yeah. But you know, whatever. All right, Django was a great movie.
I would never have voted for that.
I think Life of Pi was great.
Zero Dark Thirty was amazing. Yeah. I really thought that was intense.
Zero Dark Thirty?
Really, but
see, Zero Dark Thirty was like just Oscar fodder. Yeah. Like that was written to win an Oscar, and I hate when they. I understand
who's
wanting to
really talk performances. When she breaks down like the scene that
it
the show just
right.
I own it. It should have won.
I totally understand the idea of like writing to win awards, but there's a certain point where you're like you're pandering.
I feel like something that's written for an award, I could not possibly.
There were several this year that I felt like were just like oh. This movie was written to be an Oscar film.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't think that, there should be more into it than that. Like, it shouldn't be just like, yeah, I didn't really, I mean, I'm not in it for to tell a story or make
there
any.
There were no indie movies this year. Like, all of them.
Her was pretty.
Yeah, but Nebraska. I haven't seen her yet.
I saw Nebraska and loved it and felt like it really should have gotten more
they
than it did.
Philomena. Philomena's pretty.
Say, yeah. There were a lot of movies like.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about.
But I'm probably going to.
I'm talking about from an independent studio. Those all had major.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
The thing is, also, you got to look at the grosses of a lot of these films are quite surprising.
Yeah.
Very surprising.
Bug you guys when movies like The Great Gatsby wins for costume over like The Hobbit?
Well,
I think Gatsby was amazing in terms of.
I really
enjoyed The Great Gatsby, but I see what you're saying with. Like, that's just 1920s clothes. Yeah. Anyone can make that.
However,
the set design, that's so. But The Hobbit clothes are fake.
Right.
It's all CG.
So that can be anything you want it to be.
That's true.
Recreating 1920s.
I guess
that, you're absolutely right.
I guess
you're
that actually, that's a good point. I never really thought of it that way.
Thank you, Michael.
Just making up clothing is one thing.
Yeah.
Recreating clothing that used to be a real thing.
And getting it spot on. Yeah. Right, yeah.
That's something that makes sense and it could be taken towards, like, I remember being really bummed out back when, Benjamin Button beat out Hellboy 2 for best makeup.
Yeah.
I'm just like, how?
When it's all CG, most of it's CGI anyway.
Special effects for Benjamin Button.
Did he really? That's
just
awesome.
Like, I would want to see something like Hellboy 2 win for best makeup.
Yeah,
you know, like,
absolutely.
That, to me, that's more
that's why Heath Ledger winning best supporting actor was that much more important to me because I was like, it's a Batman movie. Like it's a superhero.
Did he
movie.
Win?
Yeah, he
absolutely.
Did.
Yeah, I remember because all of his family came out and accepted it.
I think it was the first posthumous award since the 1950s.
Yeah.
But none of the comic book movies have ever been nominated for best costume design.
Yeah.
I feel like the one that really, I mean, if it was going to get any Academy Award nomination, I feel like Watchmen should have gotten it. Or even the cinematography.
Yeah.
I think that the design of that.
Are we not counting Pan's Labyrinth?
Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is that just
ridiculous? Yeah.
I don't
know.
No,
it did. It did, and it swept.
It's the only movie that it's the only movie that I've ever seen on IMDb that's rated 99 out of 100.
It is
like,
a
it's
great
the only,
film.
Yeah.
And then
if you've got 2.5 hours worth of rating in you,
nothing.
I got a hug from Ben Jones. Well, speaking of special effects, I know that you had brought up Life of Pi.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone really like that movie?
I love Life of Pi.
You know, I didn't see it.
I don't know. As a fat guy, I went in.
There was no pie.
There was no pie.
He thought
there wasn't even there wasn't even a 3.14 joke. Like it was.
He thought
it
was a sequel of American Pie.
Life of Pi.
It's like when they. It's like
the pie.
Well, I mean, we saw them grow up. We saw them get married. Now this is like their life till they die. It's the Life of Pi.
It's coming.
Sure.
Why is the sequel to
Rain Man?
I think only you got that
because you probably just made himself laugh so hard.
He's peeing himself over there. I can feel it on the floor where it's drizzling down his leg.
All right.
It was fun. Thank you.
Hey.
Yeah, it was fun.
You know what? We're just moving forward. 2014, guys.
Moving forward.
Honestly, none of you guys.
David got the most.
You did get a lot. You did get,
he got like 3.
Yeah,
five.
Let's be fair. I went to film school.
Oh, there you go.
This is my
special. Yeah.
So
we'll say David won.
Sweet.
Speaking of David,
yeah,
tell us. Yeah, that's good.
That's good. So, you guys, we have you on this podcast today, and it's also, you know, the second part of your guys' podcast. So, why don't you guys talk about yourself as well?
Well, like I just mentioned, I went to film school, and you know, I wanted to stay busy. I wanted something I can do between projects, and. Me and David Gilman were just kind of like, well, we love podcasts. Why don't we do one?
Yeah.
And started out, we had one mic, and it was just me and him sitting talking about comics. And it was something to keep me busy, something to keep me creative.
Sure. Mm.
And that's what I wanted more than anything, was just a way to express myself on a weekly basis and have people listen, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like we missed an opportunity. You know, you could have called the podcast One Mic, Two Davids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, actually, that would have been pretty good, too. Yeah. I mean, I like your name, but that would have been...
so many
things could have been mis-searched, and then they found you.
Well, we had already had the kind of epic brand.
Two Davids, you know, one Mike.
Yeah. I threw them out there. No, yeah. we literally, like, we threw out probably, like, 300 or 400. I say we. It was just me.
The naming of our podcast was the hardest thing that we've ever done.
Time. And mistakes were made.
Yeah.
We'll just move past it.
Yeah. It just kind of the kind of brand just kind of came to us. We were over at Matt Smith's house, who was our...
The doctor.
Yeah. No, not the 11th doctor.
You mean there's more than one person in the world named Matt Smith?
Although his child
is
named Rory. Yeah, he did name his child Rory.
There we go.
Yeah, which is kind of neat. But we were over at his house. We were starting to get kind of epic together. We were like, what should we call ourselves? And Gabe actually came up with kind of epic.
And the branding as well, which the celebrities are bemused by.
Yeah. And we started out as kind of epic films. And we were just like, all right, well, what would we call something weekly? Okay, kind of epic show. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, see, the thing was, the whole idea of it was that we wanted something to accurately reflect our production values. And so the idea is, we put epic in the name, so if we really do succeed at long every level that we intend, then of course we haven't undersold anything.
Sure.
But then, knowing what we're actually going to do, we put the kind of as a preface.
Like, so yeah, maybe.
At the end of the day, you've watched it. And
sure.
Well, we didn't oversell.
Sure.
So, yes.
You didn't want like an epic movie,
so, like, this
sort of effect where it just turned out to be garbage.
Well, and then the effect that we had at the end, so like our screen grab type of thing, was like a sky, and then it had epic. And then booing.
Yeah, and then laughter.
Thumbs up.
And then straight up laughter.
Yeah, we set our bar. We were just like, let's lower that.
What can we do with a budget of -$300?
Like nothing.
What can we do owing rent money this month?
So, there was a reason, other than that we're fans of you guys, but there was a reason why we actually had you guys on. Why don't you tell us about the...
Well, we're sharing a panel together.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, it's a big commitment.
More
I've never shared a panel with anyone.
More so David and Warner.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that sounded a little...
Alec and Ross. You guys will be there.
I'm just not
well,
able to be on
just
stage.
Be David and Warner. I mean, the rest of us have to go watch it.
It's the only con I've ever heard of where they're like, you can have only two panelists.
What? There must not be more than two panelists on any stage.
I think what it could be is maybe they saw me and it was like... Normally we can fit three people.
We're going to have to limit it, man. I'm so sorry.
They couldn't just put it on another table?
Or they're just like, your beard is just too much. We can only handle one other beard.
And then, they were like, we can only handle so much. You've got a pretty big beard. And then they saw that I was the second one. They're like, too much beard. That's
way too much
just
beard.
That's all we got.
Too much beard.
There's entirely too much hair on this stage.
Right?
They send out a PSA that says, do not have this much beard. You can't.
We had our first panel with the guys who made Hell Walks the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a full panel.
Yeah.
And it was different, but very, very...
I wanted to give you guys the experience.
Yeah.
But
there was an MMA fighter in the audience.
I'm super excited to have a chance to interact with fans.
Well, like, I think you talk about something we really like, something that we were, like, really passionate about.
What is the panel supposed to be about, guys?
Oh, we haven't like really fine-tuned, but I think the idea is like, this is, I mean, this is why we do it.
Yeah.
This is how we do it, and this is why you should do it. Well, I mean, that's kind of the idea, right?
So the way that we sold this to the normally I would enjoy that 90s moment right with you.
It's Friday night.
Sorry.
This is how we do it.
Really, just a cappella. Yeah. You can't find a clip on that.
No, yeah. Well, it wouldn't be as enjoyable. Go ahead.
So
sorry,
you can only use 15 seconds of the clip, and really,
yeah, then we have to pay it. So you know,
15 seconds
whatever.
Is not enough of that.
Yeah, yeah.
All you'd have to do is buy them dinner. I really don't think they're gonna.
Hey, can we just order you a pizza? Can we use your song?
Okay. By the way,
extra pickles.
More than a feeling.
You forgot the pickles.
More than a feeling.
It's pretty good.
The song that's hooked on a feeling. I'm sorry, hooked on a feeling? The song that's in the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer?
Yeah.
iTunes, there have been so few downloads of that song the month before that iTunes could not track how many songs had been, how many times
it
had been downloaded.
Sure.
And so they said that the increase after the.
Just the Blue Suede version or the Hasselhoff version?
Oh, God.
All.
They said that the percentage increase. Of downloads was something like 4,000% increase in sales.
I actually used it for our podcast when it came out, when we were talking about the trailer on our podcast.
Really?
I used Hooked on a Feeling, and all I did at the end was just like, hey, you can song to my Blue Suede, and you can find it on iTunes. And I even in the description, I gave a link to the iTunes.
That's actually a good way to do that.
So.
We'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I listen to other podcasts like Aisha Tyler's. Podcast, Girl and Guy.
Yeah,
she does that too. She'll just bring the link to actually buy
the song. She has a somewhat larger budget than we do.
I mean, her podcast is pretty
positive.
I'm just saying, it's a way that okay,
even zero
might not get
$0 budget would be vastly better than our budget. Negative.
I don't know if it makes me feel better or worse that she said that she hasn't broken even on her podcast. Like, obviously, massive investment of her time and money. But,
sure.
And she's not doing it for the same reasons that we're doing it. But at the same time, you're like, you would want somebody that successful
like
to be successful.
I do too. It's pretty good.
We're doing the panel, and just having written the description, just very brief here, it was just really about a sentence. Essentially, introducing who you two are, telling you that your secret identity is this podcast. And
sure.
Outing you, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
And then also...
It's bound to happen.
Weird.
Yeah.
And then just saying that you guys are going to answer all the questions that people wanted to ask or were too scared to ask.
For all the audience.
Yeah.
We need to ask
Hi, Mom.
Great people.
Yeah. Michael, you just can be there.
Hey, guys.
I'll call in.
Michael in the back. This sucks. Dang it, Michael.
But yeah,
honestly, first time wasn't
Take off
calling.
Your shirt.
if you are going to be at Indiana Comic Con this next weekend, it'll be March 15th, then definitely stop by our panel at 5 o'clock because if nothing else, we'd like to see you.
And the date.
It's March 15th, 5 o'clock, room 121.
Oh, you're driving a pony.
I
see.
Yes, that
is a pony. Is it a pony with like its legs and amputated
in front?
Yes.
Oh my!
See, we're not the only podcast that draw those.
It looks like a giraffe.
Yeah,
I think
that sounds super bad.
Okay.
Thank you, that's a compliment.
It's like a giraffe with two Adam's apples.
That's so funny.
This is not a good enough endorsement, guys.
Yeah.
We're giving information in consideration. The best we can get out of David is, you know, hopefully it won't be a train wreck.
No, I think it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about it for, like, just on a personal level. I think it's going to be really fun.
We joke about it, but I think we're all super excited about it.
Who are you interviewing?
That is the 10th time you've said
it's just David and I talking about podcasting in Indiana.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which there's really not. I mean, we are basically it.
Super.
No, don't be
sorry. Somebody has won a prize. Like, we'll give a shirt to somebody.
I don't think that we're it. I think we're two of the few that actually get it out there.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the case. Like, you know, it's not like who's the best, but who's the loudest.
Yeah.
And I think we really, like, both of us do a pretty good job of promoting
who's the boss?
Our podcasts.
Angela.
We've argued about this. Why do we argue about this every week? It was clearly never mind.
It was Angela.
What was the boy's name?
Tony Danza, I think.
No, little boy.
Charlie
Harper.
When I was a kid, I thought the Elton John song, Hold Me Closer, Tiny Dancer, I thought he was singing Tony Danza, and confused me a lot.
Actually, that makes makes more sense than the actual song.
That's actually how it goes, and he had to change it to Tiny Dancer.
Tony Danza was like, hey.
Yeah, hey.
That's somebody else, I think.
Right, he played the Fonz, right?
Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza.
But yeah, there are other indie podcasts, which, hey, if you guys are at the panel, we'd love to get in contact with you.
Yes, please. Plus,
it's already said they're going to podcast bomb us.
So, like,
that sounds weird, actually. Yeah. I apologize. Podcast
The
bomb.
Name of the podcast originally was Indie Podcast Unite.
Yeah.
Which...
It's still the name of the panel.
No, they changed the panel.
Did they?
It's now the Indie Podcast panel.
Oh, wow.
IPP. Bastards.
You down with IPP?
Now IPP.
Yeah, you know me.
Yeah, Indie Podcast panel.
You know I'm down with DDB, sure.
IPP up in the 317, y'all.
IPP.
DDB 2017. That's our area code. I think that's a thing that occasionally happens in rap songs. I would not know.
It's a rash that you get if you take the wrong kind of antibiotic.
11% of the population thinks that HTML is a sexually transmitted disease.
Really?
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
Save the date, right?
Yeah,
save the date. No, but promotion. Save the date, March 15th.
March 15th. Later. Closely related to DDP.
Did you know he was the disease where yeah, read backwards. I can't remember.
Dyslexic.
I was going to say anorexic because I was retarded, but
I have dyslexia.
You really overrated it a bit.
We just destroyed Rob. I'm sorry.
It's not a disease.
The
disease.
Learning disorder.
You know, when you got a fever when you were five, and then bam, you're dyslexic.
This just in.
You're dyslexic.
I am, actually.
Oh, well, yeah, I just flicked my hand.
I'm sorry.
This just in. Robert Roque is fired from their man.
Hi, guys. This is Gabe from Kind of Epic Show. You may know me from that one time that I was on that podcast that you're listening to right now. That was great, guys. Anyway, see us. And by us, I mean not me, but Sir Alec Ward, and...
I won't be there either.
And Sir David West.
Actually, I think I'm going to be on there, not Alec. That was the whole bitterness in the middle of the podcast.
I think I actually just got infected by the bitterness. That was that whole play.
Oh, gee workers, guys. I think that's it for today. I think that was it for today 20 minutes ago. Yeah, so.
Truth be told, we all have food poisoning, and so that has affected.
If somehow you're still around for this, everyone in here already did it, so you might as well join the group and suck a toot, you guys.